Everyone, my name is Marco Minghini and I'm very happy to be the chair of this very last talk of the day for the academic track, not the last talk of the conference, but the last of the 10 talks that the academic track scientific committee was very happy to give you today. Of course, thanks to all our beautiful speakers. And the speakers of the next talk will be Jennings, Anderson, and Dipto Sarkar. So Jennings is a geoinformation scientist working as a postdoc researcher at the University of Colorado Boulder. He has been studying the evolution of the OSM community and building contributor-centric OpenStreetMap data analysis tools for the past 7 years. Then we have Dipto. He's a lecturer of geographic information science at the University College Cork in Ireland, and he is also interested in studying OSM as a database and a community, both of which are intrinsically linked. And they will give us a very interesting talk about titled Curious Cases of Corporations in OpenStreetMap. So I would now leave the floor to the talk, and then we will be back here for the Q&A session. In the meantime, I invite the audience to just access the pad and ask or write your questions during the talk, and then we will ask those questions to the authors afterwards. So enjoy the talk.
Hello, my name is Jennings Anderson, and today I will be presenting our research titled Curious Cases of Corporations in OpenStreetMap. This is work done in collaboration with Dipto Sarkar. So let's pick up where we left off. Last year, we presented our research on the growing phenomenon of corporate editors in OSM. This involved first quantifying the edits sponsored by these 10 companies. Now, this is not an exhaustive list of the corporations that employ OSM editing teams, but at the time, these 10 companies had publicly disclosed their lists of paid editors and described their editing activities. There are possibly many more, but these are some of the largest to date. Today, we've also added three more companies to our measures: Digital Egypt, Light Ciphers, and the ride-sharing company Lyft. Overall, the scale of paid editing in OSM is increasing. This graph quantifies corporate edits in the last 5 years. As of March 2020, 17% of the global road network, as measured by kilometer, was last edited by a member of a corporate data team. So how do we quantify this editing activity in OSM? All of our data processing relies on the tile-reduced processing framework from Mapbox, which allows us to process OSM in only minutes. Using a combination of OSM QA tiles, QA Tiles Plus, and a new project, OSM Interactions, which is built on the OSHDB project from the Heidelberg Institute for Geoinformation Technology, we search for specific types of edits to OSM elements and then compare the metadata to lists of known user IDs associated with each of these corporate editing teams. You can learn more about each of these tile sets at the link shown on this slide. The image on the right shows an excerpt of the OSM Interactions tile set that contains the editing history for every highway object in OSM. In this case, this is a screenshot of San Francisco, and if you look closely there, you can see many overlapping lines representing multiple interactions by different users to specific highway objects. So, now that we know how to quantify it, let's look at the geographic coverage of paid editing activities. So this represents the aggregate of all 13 of the companies on the previous slides. And between 2016, 2017, and 2018, we see growing activity across most of the world. And in 2019, the global activity continues to increase with these new editing hotspots in various cities around the world. And this is how each company measures up. These are the numbers that were presented last year. And this is where corporate editing is at today. Apple is currently doing the most work on the map. Cart is just behind Apple in quantity. Amazon's rate of editing is growing rapidly as their logistics team incorporates data from their delivery drivers. They are active primarily in North America and the United Kingdom. Facebook's editing team is editing at a fairly consistent rate here with the slope of that red line. And note that Mapbox was the first paid editing team, but has really plateaued in activity since the other corporations have started to edit. Digital Egypt has been very active in the past year, editing primarily in Cairo. And finally, Grab has also been consistently editing over the past 2 years. So this is the current state of corporate contributions to OSM. Today, however, we're just going to take a closer look at the OSM-related activities of just these three companies. Grab, active primarily in Southeast Asia. Digital Egypt, active primarily in Egypt, Cairo to be more precise. And lastly, we'll add another corporation to the list, Tesla. While Tesla may not directly employ a data team to edit the map, we're going to explore some interesting Tesla-related editing activity in late 2019. So first, Grab. Grab is a Singapore-based company active in Southeast Asia, offering ride-hailing, transport, food delivery, and payment services. Grab is actively editing OSM data since 2018 and has thus far edited more than 1.6 million features. And Grab's focus on transport-related services implies that a navigable road network is a priority. Road topology and navigation restrictions are non-trivial to encode. We're talking, of course, about turn restrictions in OSM. Turn restrictions are relation elements that involve way elements, typically with the highway tag, and describe relevant routing information between them, such as no right turn or right turn only, etc. So let's look at some turn restrictions globally. These are visualizations from a project called QA Tiles Plus. They're created by extracting all the restrictions from the planet file and then putting them into something that looks like an OSM QA Tiles format. Here's the turn restrictions present in San Francisco. And here's where there's turn restrictions in London. Here's the turn restrictions in Frankfurt, Mexico City, and Rome. Now, according to Tag Info, there are 1.3 million relations with this restriction key. These are the turn restrictions in Singapore. 7% of the turn restrictions globally are in Singapore. And here's an animation of the work that the Grab team has been doing in the past 2 years. The dots on the map represent turn restrictions. The green ways represent OSM highway objects. Grab has edited over 100,000 turn restrictions in Singapore. We choose to highlight Grab's OSM editing work because it represents a highly focused effort put in by a single corporation in a specific place to build infrastructure needed to support their business directly. In doing so, Singapore is an incredible outlier in the density of turn restrictions. And we can only assume that routing with OSM data is then much improved in Singapore. Overall, however, Grab's efforts of improving this data, especially this complex road topology and these restrictions, and building a community of editors in Southeast Asia is beneficial far more than just to their company, but for the entire OSM ecosystem and anyone using that data. The next company we'll look at more closely is Digital Egypt. As of March 2020, Digital Egypt has edited more than 2 million features in Egypt. More than 1.7 million of these objects involve objects with the address tag. And these edits comprise 94% of the objects in Egypt that have an address tag. So, similar to Grab, Digital Egypt's contributions are improving the usability of OSM data for everyone in North Africa, specifically geocoding and place finding. So here's a heat map of Digital Egypt's editing activity. And here's a close-up of their work. Each yellow dot represents a node with addressing information. And here's another region. And that's Cairo. So unlike Grab, Digital Egypt does not operate their own services, such as routing, built on top of their data infrastructure. Their hyperlocal focus and dedication to improving data for a country with a dearth of spatial data distinguishes them from other corporations who are using the map within a product by instead making the local data the product itself. The third corporation of curious interest is Tesla. Tesla is an American manufacturer of electric cars that was found to be using OSM parking aisle information for their vehicle's self-driving summon feature. This information came to light in this November 2019 blog post on the Tesla Motors Club website. Tesla's summon feature allows an owner to instruct their vehicle to drive autonomously to them through a parking lot. One Tesla owner witnessed their vehicle take the circuitous route around the parking lot rather than driving directly to them at the front of the store. So they went to OSM. They updated the parking aisles in the map and returned to the lot to find that their Tesla had gotten smarter and knew about these new parking aisles. Therefore, it was discovered that Tesla must be ingesting OSM data as part of their routing. And not just the primary road network, but these very specific parking aisles. So, for proper functionality, the summon feature requires detailed maps of parking aisles within larger parking lots. These data are relatively sparse, as their utility to the overall map is minimal compared to the actual road network. We found that the average number of parking aisles added per day in North America increased by 71% between the time frame of 2016 to 2018 and 2018 to 2020. So this blog post is partially responsible for the overall increase in interest. In the days following this blog post, the number of daily editors adding parking aisles within their first week of joining OSM spikes, as shown here in this figure, similar to an increased interest in OSM following Pokemon Go. This single blog post inspired scores of Tesla fans to join OSM and add new parking aisles to the map, thereby mapping a very specific object type for a very narrow purpose. So we like to think that these Tesla owners represent a new generation of hobby and craft mappers in OSM. Unlike traditional craft mappers considered to altruistically contribute map data about a specific feature, the Tesla craft mappers create data intended to be consumed by a corporation to enhance the experience for a select group of motorists. If looking to categorize these new mappers into prior community labels, their mapping practices seem to us to have more in common with a traditional craft mapper than a paid corporate mapper. And this is why we think Tesla is such a curious case. So that concludes our investigation of these three corporations and the influence they're currently having in OpenStreetMap. Each of these companies is benefiting and or sponsoring the map, mapping of very specific features. Grab has mapped an incredible number of turn restrictions in OSM, and in turn increased the usefulness of OSM in Southeast Asia. Digital Egypt has added over 1 million addresses in Egyptian cities, massively improving the geocoding abilities of OSM data in North Africa. And finally, while Tesla may not be directly sponsoring these mappers, their use of OSM is inspiring scores of mappers to sign up and add specific details to parking lots. Again, not unlike we saw with Pokemon Go. While we chose these particular three cases because we had not investigated them in depth before, though previous work and other presentations have shown these corporations to be engaged in object-specific editing in OSM. So we thought it was good to dive into these three to tell a deeper story of what corporate involvement can look like in OSM. This is in part to act as a reminder that where the map fills in will always tie back to a special or specific interest, whether that be a personal interest, a humanitarian interest, or a corporate interest. We have no doubt that the global community will continue to grapple with interactions between these many different user groups. But at the end of the day, OSM has been and continues to be an incredible success in terms of open geographic data with great utility available to everyone. While we didn't highlight Amazon's editing in our work, we thought we'd share this geographic summary of the nearly 1 million edits made since January by Amazon Logistics in North America, which we can only assume has dramatically improved OSM-based routing. Again, a very specific type of OSM data use in the specific areas. However, let's close with a different graph. This shows a spike in yet another community of mappers in OSM that's seen major growth recently. This is the number of mappers submitting change sets about golf in the past 2 years. The spike in 2019 is likely related to a popular golfing simulator using OSM data. This looks pretty similar to both the Tesla mappers and then interest from Pokemon Go players. We end on this graph to again reinforce the notion that the OSM community continues to expand and evolve as more people and companies adopt OSM. What might today be a curious case of OSM data will soon become another sub-community of OSM mappers. Thank you. This work is supported by the University of Colorado Boulder, the United States National Science Foundation, with data processing support from the Chameleon Cloud Scientific Computing Testbed.
Okay, thanks a lot, Jennings and Dito, for this very interesting talk. Of course, there are some questions, given the high interest that this work generates. Just before going to the Q&A session, let me just say that we are particularly happy to have Jennings in particular here, because Jennings, I think, is the only author who presented in the last, which are all the three editions of the academic track, 2018 in Milan, 2019 in Heidelberg, and 2020 online conference. So I think Jennings, you kind of won this let's say competition, to call it like that. So you are the only one, and we are particularly happy, especially given also the high interest of all your talks, not just of course this one. But let's come back to the pad, and let me just go to the first question from Guillaume Richard. The question is, if mapper A maps a way and corporate mapper B cuts the way in two, do you count those ways as created or last edited by A or B?
Yeah, that is a great question. The answer is it kind of depends. And that's part of the reason why we are advocating for more of these kind of deep dive, close investigations of what's happening, because I think we can get a big picture from quantifying these edits. But to get into the nitpicking of what happened with this object here and this object, that becomes a lot more difficult to quantify. Kind of the hope with some of this analysis is that by quantifying it at a large scale, we can get a better idea of kind of where it's happening and to what extent, whereas some of those very specific edits are more difficult. So the short answer on that is that if counting, it depends on the data set that we're using for that. And we're kind of used multiple data sets for different pieces of work here. The OSMQA tiles will count that object as being last edited by the corporate mapper. And for that reason, like that initial statistic we give, which is as of March 2020, 17% of the global road network was, quote, last touched by a corporate editor. And that's kind of why we make that distinguishing kind of attribute on that, because that is a difficult thing to measure. Now, that's the beauty of tools like the OSHDB and things that we can better reconstruct the full history of OSM. And so this is what the OSM interactions tile set does, which is built off of the OSHDB from Heidelberg. That will allow us to look closer at that interaction, which says, okay, this road that was initially created by this mapper, and then corporate mapper came in and made an edit on that, it wasn't a new creation. And so we can't get at the nuance of that. So for the larger statistics, it does just say the corporate mapper did that because they were the last ones to touch the way. However, when we dive into some of these things and we're looking at who created objects or just trying to use more specific language, then we are considering that full editing history.
Thanks a lot, Jennings. I hope this answered the question from Guillaume. The second question was, I think, more about the concept and the definition of corporation that you took, because there's a question on HOT, the humanitarian OpenStreetMap team that has done paid mapping in the past and has employed people to do that. So why did you not look at that?
Absolutely. And so, yeah, this is something I should have included that slide in this talk, but the way we've been kind of thinking about this now is like, I mean, OSM is this community of many communities at this point, and no mappers really fit that cleanly into any single box. And I think that's something that we want to kind of talk more about, is as people are moving between different organizations, maybe someone starts out as a hobby mapper through a hot task and then end up being eventually employed by another organization. And so people are kind of moving through this community. And so we want to be really careful in how we just start putting people in boxes when we start kind of quantifying that. And so specifically what we were looking at in this work was trying to focus on just those corporations to try to identify these like specific, what we were calling these curious cases, to get people kind of thinking about the impact this is having on the map overall. In terms of the kind of corporations that we've been tracking and kind of watching this growth, those are the corporations that we kind of started with and are trying to find ways to now almost be more inclusive and find better ways to quantify the differences between humanitarian and corporate, but more just like this overlap. And this is all this like kind of conflated mapping. So that's kind of a wishy-washy answer to that. I want to be very careful not to try to pit like corporate mappers against hobbyists against humanitarians. I don't think that that's a constructive dialogue of how the community is and how the map is being made. And so I want to be careful that we don't necessarily do that. And so, yeah, that's kind of the answer, is that it's all very interconnected. And then trying to figure out who is paid and who isn't, and it gets very difficult. So there's really hard lines to draw.
Thanks, Jennings. I fully agree with your answer. On this topic, I just want to point everyone to a talk that we had a couple of years ago in the academic track titled "Evolution of Humanitarian Mapping Within the OpenStreetMap Community," who basically looked at the activity on the Hot Tasking Manager and how these has grown over the years. So very interesting talk, somehow related to this question. Let me go to the next one, that is from Andy Allen, asking, with the Grab Singapore editing, are all those restrictions actually necessary? One common problem in the past is companies adding unneeded turn restriction relations. For example, no right turn into a no entry one way road. And then I will point you to the pad just to have a look at the links, for example, from Tag Info that I think Andy added.
Fascinating. I'm going to bring up this link real quickly here. So this is a great question. I think that there's I think that probably the best answer to that is going to be the Grab team. I don't know much about how they're kind of organizing that or what decisions that they're making. We're just trying to report on what's in the data, which is that there's a lot of turn restrictions that they have been responsible for. And I'm assuming that since they're doing this, that the routing is improving in Singapore, and that this is useful data to the map in that regard. I'm sure this is kind of a, yeah, somebody I'd be interested. I will follow up with someone at Grab to learn more about this, because I think that there is something to be discerned here between like turn restrictions in their various parts of the world and the usability of that and how that and how routing works across the world. So I think that's maybe the more interesting conversation to come out of that. So I'm not entirely sure, but I think that would be an interesting conversation to have with the Grab folks to learn about what's happening on the map there.
So I think we found the topic for your next year's talk at State of the Map. Okay, thanks for the answer, and also thanks, Andy, for this interesting question. Of course, yes, sometimes it really it's a matter of really asking or really try to go on the field, actually, if possible, and see why something is happening. So next question is from Gregory. Have you looked at the size of mapping teams per company and how that has changed, rather than looking at the number of edits per company? Interesting question.
Certainly. And the short answer is that on these larger companies, these teams are definitely growing in the past couple of years. And we're just getting that information by reading, you know, their wiki pages and the GitHub pages for the data teams and what they're listing out. And as we track those usernames, as you users come kind of through these companies, those lists are generally growing. And I believe now there's something in our list is maybe around 2,000 editors in total, and that was in like March. So yes, these teams are growing. Certainly in the larger companies, I think some of the smaller companies, I don't know that the teams have been growing as rapidly.
Thanks, Jennings. And thanks also again, Gregory, for the question. Next one is from Corey. And the question is, how likely do you think it is that these hyper niche mappers, I think this is about Tesla, will stay around to map more things outside of their narrow interests? Do you have any data that shows they have any rates of retention?
Ah, that's a great follow-up question. I don't have any data so far that would support that. That would be kind of hard to measure, but I think we could, because we can identify those users that maybe signed up and mapped a parking aisle immediately after the Tesla blog post and make kind of an assumption about that and then look at their continued behavior. I would imagine that the rate of retention is fairly similar to the global community of someone who learns about OSM, signs up, maps, and you know, a small percentage of them come back, and the majority of them don't. And that's just internet communities in general. But that would be something to definitely dig more into. Some of that, when I was just investigating like individual users on some of that work, it was very interesting to see that they mapped a parking aisle and then they mapped the highway to that parking lot. And this is like in suburban Texas or something. And then they also mapped their house. And so they basically mapped their full route from like their house to like Home Depot or something. And I don't know if they ended up coming back and keeping mapping, because I was doing this kind of right when it was happening. So that's interesting. So they did map more than just a parking aisle, but the parking aisle was kind of what started, and then they started mapping this and they thought, oh, this is interesting. And you know, they mapped their house in very critical detail. And so I don't know what that tells you about them as a mapper. And then I'd like to just quickly, Dipto just had a great comment, that the AI, with AI mapping, the amount of mapping per mapper might be increasing as well with some of the machine learning. So back to the editing team size, a smaller team will be able to do more work utilizing with machine learning. I don't know what that might break down to, but that is something that might change in terms of number of edits versus number of employees.
Great. Thanks, Jennings. And again, Corey, for the question. Next one is from Eugene. Some corporate mappers are mapping part-time for a company, and also they do volunteer mapping on their own. The change sets are generally differentiated by the presence of a change set hashtag if the mapper uses the same OSM user account. And again, this is about your methodology. So did mm-hmm. you take this into account?
In some ways. And so some companies, example Cart, that's a great example. They will usually have hashtag Cart, or Cart 2019, Cart 2020, in the change set, which is a great way to distinguish that. And there's also other companies, where they will have like underscore telenav at the end of a username, for example, to denote that that's their kind of corporate account versus someone's personal account, and then versus like someone's import account. So that's another way that some of this these distinctions are made. This current round of analysis does not account for users that are on corporate teams that may do mapping in their spare time. Not for a company. It does not account for them using or not using that hashtag, but that is certainly something important to consider. To the best of our ability, when we see names coming off and on these lists of data team members, our users, as they may move between different companies or get hired or leave a company, and we try to, you know, attribute those edits to the appropriate company. That's been the hardest part to kind of track right now. But I think a big next part will be those users that do both of that type of mapping. And that's something to really highlight there, that user will often get kind of lumped into this like into the corporate bin when really that's not fair because they're also in these other in these other communities of mappers. And so I think that that's another thing to highlight, some of the nuance of how we talk about this, because these aren't just, that's not just a corporate mapping team. No matter how someone feels about that, at some point that's also like just a community member and an editor. And so I think that's, these are important distinctions to make and bring to light.
Thanks a lot. And let's go to the next one from Just. Do you think it's feasible to look at the displacement of volunteer mappers? Questions like, does a heavily corporate mapped area have a higher tendency to lose other mappers? Or do they shift their attention? Or does the hopefully increased data quality bring more people who are interested?
Yes, that is a great question. That is something that I think we hinted at the end of last year's talk. And the answer is that that is something we really want to try to quantify a little bit more precisely before saying something like that, because you can imagine that could be a very divisive statement within the community. And we haven't been able to kind of say one way or the other. We end up finding these kind of interesting behaviors that we've been diving into. And I think that that's because the answer to that is it totally depends on the location and the motivation for that mapping and what's happening there. And so I think that there are, I think that's kind of the simplest answer to that is that that's just a very difficult thing to actually quantify. It has potential to be kind of a divisive and harmful narrative that could get kind of spun out of that. And so we want to be really careful about how we measure that and make sure we're getting that right. And I think the answer is it really depends on where. And if there is a community in an established local community that might feel like they're being displaced, we could probably find instances of all of this around the globe. And that's why we haven't kind of come out and said one way or the other. But that's definitely something for future work. And if there's more collaborations or ideas around how we might quantify that or how we might kind of talk about that in a constructive way, constructive for the whole community and the growth and quality of the map, I'm all ears. I do think that's a very important aspect.
Thanks, Jennings. I think questions like these really show how interesting it is to study OSM from a research point of view. So thanks again, Just, also for the question. And yeah, much more to hopefully come in the future. Mm-hmm. So next question is from Anonymous, and it is about, well, is there anything you are willing to say about Google on the topic of corporate mapping? I know it might be not relevant.
That's super interesting. I have nothing to say, but I'm not willing or not willing. I don't know anything about Google in regards to this. I think this is relevant to a point, and this was a comment that I kind of made, I believe, on Frederick's talk yesterday. That I think that I don't know about Google's mapping approach or anything there, but I think that this is on the topic of corporate mapping. I think that there is, we're seeing OSM really filling in across the globe and at an increased rate. And so in terms of relevance to Google, there are many places now, emboldened by corporate mapping, and now places with stricter validation or just more eyes that have seen it, that that OSM is definitely a major rival in terms of a data source, not as a product, but as a data source to what Google's able to do. So I think that they're paying attention to this, but that's kind of all I know. If anyone does know more about Google and how they feel about all this, or how we internally as a community might measure up to their scale of mapping and what they're doing, who has better tools? At this point, our tools have gotten really, really good. So these are kind of some great questions that I'd love to talk more about, but I don't know anything about that. So if people do, would love to talk.
Yeah, I think that would be really fertile ground for further research and discussion, perhaps. So next question is from Tobias. Do you have any statistics or sources on where the corporation's paid mappers are based geographically?
That's a great question. No, nothing that I can say with confidence. I think we can make a lot of assumptions. I believe that Digital Egypt's work is a lot, is mostly based in Cairo, based on where they're editing and the knowledge that they seem to have. Other than that, I guess I'm not entirely sure, other than, you know, looking at these companies' websites and seeing like where they're based. But I'm not sure on that. I think that would be kind of interesting to look at, and if there's a correlation on regions of the world that are being mapped, and but I'm not sure what that looks like. That's a great question.
Thanks a lot. And we have the last question. What about outsourced mapping companies like GlobalLogic? And this is from Eugene.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, that's a great question. Yeah, we haven't kind of caught up in our list of companies to be tracking like that, because to our knowledge, we haven't seen a list of the GlobalLogic. You know, we can only measure what we can find. So we haven't seen a list of the GlobalLogic editors at the time when we started making our lists of corporations that we were tracking. We focused on kind of the top companies at that time and have just kind of extended that work. So if we're just behind on tracking these lists, and there are more lists of these of data team editors, please point me in that direction, and would love to kind of add them so we can keep quantifying these.
Thanks, Jennings. We have also a series of comments in the pad, but given the time restrictions we have, I propose that I would very quickly go through the comments and you reply with just one very short sentence. So we try to really be quick and go through these quite long list of comments. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
So your globe looks really cool.
Thank you.
Here, Matt hired data digitization companies to populate OSM for them, periodically importing this data into their own platform.
Yes, I absolutely believe that. Difficult to track, but I think this is a fantastic. This is an example of like all these new use cases of OSM and how the data is being generated. I think this is what's been not even that new. This is what's been happening for a while. And so, yeah, the more kind of stories like this show the nuances.
There was also a map roulette challenge for Tesla parking aisles.
Super interesting. I actually didn't come across that. I wish I had earlier, and I will look that up, or someone can point me to that. We'll take that into account, because that's obviously going to correlate.
Then a comment about Tesla using GPS or imagery. Let me just read the final part. So all I know is with imagery plus minus 5 meters offset, any such mapping will just do more damage than good. Okay, so they are certainly not using ID or cell phone GPS traces. Okay, so ask them to share their secret tools.
Yes, again, highlighting these very nuanced cases of these new pieces and of tools and data that's coming into the community, and I hope that prompts more conversations around how can we get all the best parking aisle information in OSM.
Great talk, and so important to have this discussion. Looking to our own community, the challenge for us could be to strengthen mappers, editors, and validators at all levels, remote and local. Perhaps rather than lament niche mapping of corporations, let's take responsibility, do our bit, and find ways to benefit from all the communities in OSM. Thanks, Annie, for this.
I love that.
Well, nice to see someone is presenting the 3 years in a row. Thanks again, Jennings. This research has so much potential. OSM should really get on board with these researchers.
I feel like I've been doing this research for a while. Dipto and I have been looking at this for at least the last 2 years, specifically into this, and I definitely feel kind of very much on board and a part of the OSM community. So I'm happy to be here and doing this work. I've become kind of passionate about this now. So I think I love this.
Thanks, Jennings. Let me just add that there is actually an OSM science mailing list, which is exactly a mailing list for research or scientific contributions around OpenStreetMap. So I would really invite everyone to join that mailing list and to ask questions, because basically researchers and people like Jennings are there and would be very happy to engage in discussions around topics like these. Next comment: don't let Google put their address database on the map, else all my friends will be sent to the wrong side of town.
It's funny. I like the PS there. You can't get a word in edgewise to Google. Yeah, so that's what OSM is for.
Okay, whatever view of WGS84 they are using will now become OSM's due to their amount of edits. So expect everybody's craft edits will have to all move over to align with them. So I sure hope they are not misaligned.
Yeah, interesting.
I'm saying all this corporate editing is great if it is perfectly aligned. Okay, as a follow-up, sorry. And then, yeah, again from, I think, the same user, the same person, want OSM end up with twos of things. Wouldn't it be faster for companies to just add a new second road rather than check for an existing road and edit or at least delete it first?
I don't necessarily think that's true. I don't know that it would be faster for companies just to add roads. I think there's nothing that unique about how the companies might be doing it as opposed to any other mapper. So I think that's more of a question of the tools and the abilities that we do have to map. I think that's interesting. And I think there have been other talks, and at least it talks in the past, that have talked about some of these validation efforts and how to be more more robust in how we go about that. So it's interesting.
Thanks, Jennings. And I think we completed all the comments. Before saying bye-bye to everyone, let me just share quickly my screen just to remind you all that the academic track also produced the proceedings, which are a collection of abstracts corresponding to all the 10 talks that you have seen today in track 2 of the conference, plus also an editorial written by the scientific committee. You can very easily find it on Zenodo, the name of the community's SOTM 2020. You can very easily find it online, and it's also linked from the website of the conference. Of course, you will also find the abstract from Jennings and Dipto that you have just seen as a talk. Last but not least, I would like to close not just this talk, but also the whole academic track at State of the Map 2020 with some thank you. First of all, I would like to thank all my colleagues of the scientific committee of the academic track, Serena, Levente, Godwin, Yair, and Peter for their help in putting all of these together. The conference, the abstracts, and the proceedings. So thanks a lot, because I mean, we all know that there's a huge work behind these. Then, thanks to all our beautiful speakers of the academic track, Jennings, Dipto, and all the others, because of course, without them, there wouldn't have been any academic track at all. Thanks to the State of the Map Working Group, Christine, first of all, Martin, and all the team, including the Cape Town local team, Bernal, and all the others. Last but not least, really, thanks to the video team for providing us with a great infrastructure. And really, you all deserve a big applause, because without you, there wouldn't have been any conference. So thanks again from me. I invite you now to have a break, a dinner break or lunch or any other kind of break, depending on where you are. And see you at 8 p.m. UTC time for a couple of more talks. And then there will be the final session and OSM quits, and then the closing session from the State of the Map working group. Thanks again for attending, and speak to you soon in one of the many OSM channels.